The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I just want to start by saying it's a magnificent lockdown beard and congratulations on committing to it and not shaving it off like everybody else has done.
Well, I have to admit now I did, so it's on its second coming, but it's a big compliment coming from you, Jer. Thank you. You've been known to sport a good beard too, Owen.
Thank you. Thank you, Hugh. Yeah, it's magnificent. Second
you're, quarter. You're being too nice. His beard has never been anywhere near as impressive as that, Cian.
I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah. We know what you're doing. Damning with faint praise. Is Sean Cronin really going to start for Leinster at the weekend?
Well, that's what I'm hearing. It's a bit left field, all right. But, yeah, the line-out for Leinster has been a major concern post-lockdown. You look last weekend, they lost four of their own lineouts. It's strange because Sean Cronin has never really been known for his lineout throwing. We think back to his first Six Nations start in 2019 in Rome. God, it feels like so long ago now at this age, and it didn't go quite well. We've always kind of associated Cronin with his work around the park. So, yeah, it would be a bit of a left field call. I think it would also be fairly harsh on Ronan Kelleher. For all that the lineout was very poor last week, I didn't by any means think it was solely his fault. You could see that it was a breakdown in communication. Sometimes the players weren't getting lifted in the air, but I think that does create a bit of panic. And, Kelleher is still very young, and I thought he had a very good game around the park. But I suppose a bit like a golfer, and if he gets the yips over putting, we've seen it over the years, Rory Best more than once. So I think what Leinster ended up doing against Ulster was really simplifying the line-out and trying to go to the front to Devon Toner. Now, that's all well and good, but if you're going up against someone like Maro Itoje, he'll just pick that off. So, yeah, so what I'm hearing is Leinster absolutely considering to go with Cronin this week, as much of a surprise as it would be.
Yeah, and it'll be an amazing comeback, really, from Cronin's perspective as well, to force his way back in. Because, like all of these selection issues, when a young player comes in, the fan base wants to see the young player do well. The international selectors want to see, let's see a little bit more here, especially in the big game, like the game against Saracens. So there must be a little bit of pressure to stick with Kelleher and to give him the opportunity, like they stuck with Jordan Larmour after his shaky enough first performance against Munster.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I was going to mention that as well. It's like Leo Cullen has stuck by his young guys, but I don't think we can question or doubt any selection calls that Leo Cullen and Stuart Lancaster make. You look at what they've done over the last couple of years, they've really managed to juggle their squad really well. I guess it's even more surprising because Sean Cronin wasn't even on the bench for the final last week. It was James Tracy. But look, Sean Cronin is massively experienced. What is he, 34 now? If he gets a chance, he'll still feel like he has a lot to prove. But I don't think, wouldn't be writing Ronan Kelleher off by any means. And, who knows, he might end up starting, is certainly what I'm hearing. But yeah, I just think, If you're going to simplify the line out against that Saracens beast, it's a problem, Leinster really, really simplified it. And even if you go back to the first Munster game post lockdown, we could see what Peter O'Mahony, the damage he caused to that, and also a very, very good line out defender. And Maro Itoje is in a similar vein to that. Leo Cullen spoke about it after the defeat last week, that it was a major concern. Because look, you're almost picking holes because Leinster have been so good since they've come back. They haven't fired in all cylinders. The set piece has been a little bit of a struggle. We haven't probably seen what they're really capable of in attack yet. But I think you've got to admire maybe Leo Cullen, Stuart Lancaster for sort of going, okay, this is a problem that we have to fix. Because even without George Cruse, who won't be playing for Saracens this weekend, and Will Skelton, those guys caused a lot of damage in Newcastle in the final last year. But they're still a very, very dangerous outfit. And like I keep saying, with Maro Itoje, if Ronan Kelleher is looking down the line and has any doubts at all and he sees Maro Itoje, I think that could be a bit of trouble. So, yeah, it'll be a tough blow for him, though, because there's no doubt that he is kind of, the one that Ireland are looking at to be their next first-choice hooker. But if he's not doing it, then maybe we can look back at it and say it was good management to take from Leo Cullen to take him out of the fire. I guess we'll have to wait and see when the team is being now named midday tomorrow, so we'll have to see then.
Tell me a little bit about this Will Connor selection. That's the other kind of heavily speculated. Is this just the basis that Will Connor's is physically a bit of a beast, and we understand that this game is going to be an absolute arm wrestle, and that having Josh Van der Fleer in reserve all of a sudden changes the complexity of that game, because Van der Fleer was unbelievable when he got back in the team.
Yeah, he was, but I'm not sure if he could have done much more to force the issue, to be honest. I think after the job that Will Connors did against Ulster a couple of weeks ago, on Stuart McCloskey and Marcel Coetzee, and then he backed it up by doing the same against CJ Standard and Damien D'Alende. Like, they're four of the biggest ball carriers in world rugby, let alone in the Pro 14. So, and it's not like kind of Will Connors has come from anywhere. He's played a lot of games, you know, pre-lockdown as well. He's been really, really good. He's a guy who's kind of only coming into our consciousness in the last year because, you know, he had an ACL injury in the 2018-19 season, which basically took him out for a year. He missed out in 2016. He was on the same Irish under-20s team as James Ryan, Jacob Stockdale, Andrew Porter. We all know that one that got to the World Cup final. He missed out on that with an ankle injury. So he has been kind of really unlucky with injuries, and I think we probably would have seen more of him if he had got that bit of run of luck. But yeah, I think Leo Cullen and Stuart Lancaster have lined, like I mentioned, those two games, they've lined Will Connors up to do a job, I think, on Billy Vunipola after seeing what he did, and particularly Coetzee and CJ Stander. I think he's ready made for it. It's very harsh on Josh Van der Fleer, you'd have to say. I agree with you, he was outstanding last week, and while he may not give you that chop tackling threat that Will Connors has perfected, like, he just gives you so much line speed. He even started carrying the ball a bit more last week, which is great to see. But yeah, Connors, I think I'd be stunned if Connors doesn't start this weekend. I think even him starting on the bench last week was a real indication that he was going to come into the side last week. And like I said, like, I don't think Van der Fleer could have done much more to force the issue, but I think they really have Connors in mind to do a job, I believe, in Vunipola.
It's impossible sometimes, Keane, to look at Leinster in isolation from Ireland at large, especially this weekend when you think about some of the problems Ireland have had against the likes of Vunipola and England in general over the last 18 months or so. Is Connors in some way a little bit of an answer to that chop tackle technique? Is that something we've been missing at national level now?
Yeah, like, potentially. I mean, I think every back row, like your likes of Josh Van der Fleer, you know, like, that's their aim, is to take these guys low. But like, it's a real serious skill. Like, I mean, you look at someone like Dan Lydiate is the obvious one who perfected the art of the chop tackle over the years. Even kind of more recently, Sam Underhill is very good at it as well. So it's something that Will Connors has worked on a lot. I know Hugh Hogan is probably someone who doesn't really get mentioned a huge amount. He's Leinster's contact skills coach, and like a real fancy title, but the work that he does, and like a lot of it is like with the likes of Will Connors, you know, working on that chop tackle technique. And this isn't something that has happened overnight for him. You know, he's not the biggest. If you look at him, he's not the biggest back row. Even if you compare him to someone like Sam Underhill, he's definitely given up a good few kg to him. So I guess he's looking at it going, okay, like, my strength has got to be something else, and it's his chop tackling technique. And you're right, Owen, like, Ireland have struggled so badly. It's not just against England. You go back to the World Cup and you look at the job that the All Blacks did in that quarter final, and yeah, it is something that they've been looking at. I think it was no surprise that Andy Farrell had Will Connors in as a development player in his initial Six Nations squad, and then he actually kept him on as well. By all accounts, he's been massively impressive in Ireland camp as well. And I think if the Six Nations had gone ahead, we probably would have seen him get capped potentially off the bench in that Italy game. So yeah, you're right. Like, if you're looking at Leinster, everything kind of goes through the prism of what's going on in Ireland. And I made this point a couple of weeks ago when I was on with John Duggan. Like, you know, he was asking about what the Irish back row could be when we come back. But if you're starting in the Leinster back row, there's a very, very good chance you're going to be starting in the Ireland back row. That's just the way it is. So if you think that if Will Connors finishes this season, which he looks like he will, as Leinster's first choice open side, then naturally he's going to be like right in the frame to not just be in the Ireland squad, but to be starting, I think, when Ireland come back.
Just checking their ages there, they're almost exactly the same age, Underhill and Connors.
So yeah, they were the same. They were the same World Cup year, but Underhill ended up playing, obviously, for the under-20s, but Will Connors missed it. So like I said, if Connors had been on that team, he probably would have been one who, you know, we would have spoken about, like James Ryan, Porter, Stockdale, you know, Max Deegan, all these guys. But because he missed out, it seems like he's a bit of a new face on the scene, but you're right, Jared, like he's 24, like he has been around for a while. He's just been a bit unlucky with injury.
The one thing about this game is obviously Saracens have literally nothing else to play for, and they are a team still laden with superstars. If Owen Farrell was playing, the 9-point spread in this game would be absolutely ludicrous. I still think it's kind of ludicrous. I think it's a much more close game given that Leinster were dominated by this Saracens team. You mentioned already the two big players missing from the pack, but they have other superstars who you would expect, if they wanted to, would play for the Lions next year.
Yeah, they do. I think they are. They're like, if we go with the team that we expect might start, I think they could be missing 5 or 7 maybe starters from that team from last year. Now they do still have strength and depth, but it will be a bit different. You know, Makovunipola, they, like Saracens have said this week, is going to start. Now he hasn't played since August 15th, which I think was Saracens' first game back. Richard Wigglesworth is in the same boat, but I know there's kind of rumblings from what you hear that maybe Makovunipola might not make it. And even he might be on the bench. So we'll have to wait and see about that as well, because if he's out of the picture as well, and the bookies usually know some things that maybe we all don't know, but if Makovunipola doesn't start as well, then that's another major weapon. And even if he does, he hasn't played since August 15th. And look, like Saracens are putting obviously all their eggs in this basket, but they've been really noisy this week in the press. You know, you saw Alex Anderson, their assistant coach, coming out after the game last week and saying, oh, we've got a few things up our sleeves, you know, Leinster will be nervous, like, and things like this. And like, while they are the last team to beat Leinster, I think like they're putting a lot of stock in just turning up this weekend and turning it on. Like we all know they're capable of it, but if you look at what Leinster have done over the last few weeks, they've built really slowly. They've been able to manage their resources. Like, I mean, resting Johnny Sexton for a Pro 14 final and Luke McGrath as well. Like, I mean, like it was a brave decision, but it was one that really paid off. So I don't know. I think I would still fancy Leinster purely because, like, I don't like that word battle hardened, but like they have much more minutes under their belt. And like the games that Saracens have been playing, even the ones that their big guns have been playing, have been utterly meaningless in the Premiership. So it's very hard to kind of read anything into that. And even some of their games that they've played, they were playing against second teams. The Premiership is just a bit of a basket case at the moment because lots of the results are skewed. So while there's no doubt it's a major concern, because what Saracens will bring is like nothing that Ulster and Munster will have brought in the games that Leinster have played post-lockdown. I still think it's all well and good Saracens saying that they've been eyeing up Leinster from a long way out, because Leinster have been doing the exact same. Like I said, resting Johnny Sexton for a Pro 14 final. Like, there's no way that happens if the Saracens game isn't coming this week. And the players might not have been doing a huge amount of work, whereas Saracens probably were doing a lot of work in Leinster. There's no doubt that Stuart Lancaster and Leo Cullen have been forensically analysing Saracens for months. Like, you think of all the time they had in lockdown, like they always knew this game was looming large. And I think they would have backed themselves. Like, we've seen what they've done in the Pro 14 with their second string team, if that's what you want to call it, in that Ulster game in particular. I mean, it was always going to take a massive upset for them not to win the Pro 14. The Champions Cup is the one they want. The players openly speak about wanting to add the fifth star to that jersey. So I think they'll be gunning for Saracens just as much, even to avenge the final defeat last year.
All right, Keane, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Cheers, lads.
It's Keane Tracy there from the Irish Independent giving us some thoughts about what's going to happen in that game this weekend between Leinster and Saracens. You can hear the Ulster Toulouse game live on Sunday, and then we'll have Liverpool against Chelsea live here also on Sunday. So that is a proper Super Sunday coming your way here on Off the Ball.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.